Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Terror Jab Radio Network.
In your face.
Boyer Online. 24-7. 24-7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
D-O-C-R. The voice of the Canadian Rockets. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nosra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madame and messieurs, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. My name is Guru, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We have a great show lined up, lots to get to tonight, so let's set up the board, open up the phone lines. We remind you, phone lines will be open for the duration of the show.
On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. And riding cohort shotgun tonight, Hugh Mash. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
That's such an ominous entry. I don't know, I just kind of, you know, how the hell do you go past that? Good evening, everyone. Welcome to VOCR Unplugged Live. It is Tuesday, April the 15th, 2014. Riding shotgun with me tonight is, of course, Hugh Mack. And Hugh and I will be chatting in a few seconds regarding some of today's outstanding news flashes. Tonight, we'll scan the news, we'll make comments and discuss. And if you are so inclined, you shall be able to chat with us. Just pick up the phone, 347-324-3287, and we'd love to talk to you. Your subject. Today in the city of Calgary, in the province of Alberta, in Canada, we were awakened to a horrific homicide. Five young souls were taken from this earth, five dead in a stabbing at a house party in northwest Calgary. Five university students are dead. One man is in custody, resulting, of course, in five homicides at that party. He is allegedly the son of a senior police officer, although all of this is still speculative. He has been charged with the five crimes. Our thoughts are with the victim and the perpetrator's family tonight. Hugh, what the hell is going on with these people? What the hell is going on in this world?
How do you answer that? I'm not sure I know myself. I mean, you know, the number of days I walk around just confused by the attitudes and the blind looks on people's faces. But I don't know. I don't know how it comes to that. These at least some of these kids, from what I understand, they were in a band and had just put out an album.
They had their whole life ahead of them. Their whole life was ahead of them. I mean, what on earth would ever possess another human being to make that much desecration in one house? You know, that is just unfathomable. And these kids going into school and shooting up the place and shooting in the malls and at the workplace. I mean, where are people's heads? Well, what is happening? This whole world seems to be agitated. It seems like what used to be just little things are now big, massive boulders. Everybody seems to be on edge. You know, military suicides, the violence we're seeing. It's almost like everybody is being vibrated to some kind of an anger frequency, because even politicians just don't seem to have the tarnish they used to have.
I agree. And I think that, particularly in this case, I'm willing to bet that alcohol played at least some factor in it. But you're right. The it's just the tension that's just growing in the world, and it's put there partly by the schools, partly by the politicians, and by the people that keep us hopping around from place to place and buying all these different things. It's just something that we're either going to have to learn to live with, or it's going to kill us all.
Yeah, it just seems to me that there seems to be some kind of, as we talked on the last show, seems to be some bigger plan afoot. Like we're almost being manipulated like molten clay. We don't have a choice, you know.
Yeah, we're definitely being manipulated, I think. And, you know, I mean, you can point fingers. You can point fingers at the corporations. You can point fingers at the government, or even people sitting quietly and unbeknownst behind the government and the corporations. But I don't think there's any question that we're being manipulated. Not everybody can be manipulated, at least not to the same degree. But I think it's there. I think just you pick a Walmart store. Or walk into a Walmart store and look at the look on people's faces and the way they start down, you know, the way they go down this aisle and the way they go down that aisle, we're all being led.
Well, I'll tell you, the other day I did a little exercise because I was very, very curious about things. So I started on the west end of downtown on the plus 15 system, as far west as you can go. And I went up and began my walk along the plus 15, and I walked that plus 15 all the way to City Hall.
Okay.
And out of that, which I would have said is about 4 miles altogether, with doing the walking, the various, because you don't go straight road, you know, it's all over the place. Anyway, out of all of that, I think I made eye contact with 1 in 200 people, if that.
So let me ask you this then, Colin. Maybe next time you'll do it differently. If you had have done the same walk only outside of the buildings in the fresh air, do you think the numbers would have been the same? Do you think the appearance of the people would have been the same?
I think they would have been actually worse outside because people, you know, it's fairly blustery down there. So I have a feeling that people would have their heads down or buried in their BlackBerry. What I'm trying to say, though, Hugh, is gone are the days where you pass people and nod, smile, you know, acknowledge.
You certainly don't see it in the bigger cities. But what I was getting at was inside the plus 15 and all the buildings that you pass through along the way, it's all controlled climate, and you know, I mean, they're controlled how? Controlled what is put into the air there? How would we know?
Exactly. And I guess I should clarify for those that are not aware of the plus 15 system. We're 15 feet, 5 meters above ground level, connected from building to building. It's very advantageous in the winter. You can do most of your shopping and everything you need to do, including see your lawyer, see your dentist, anything you need in the plus 15 system within these buildings. So that's what the plus 15 we're talking about. And walking this, maybe you're right, Hugh, maybe it's such a controlled system that we're automatrons, really, where we just go from A to B without, you know, it used to be once upon a time, like I say, you would nod, smile, you would acknowledge as you're walking along a street. You would say your good mornings and your good afternoons to people you knew, and you know, and it just doesn't seem to be that way anymore. Everybody seems to have their head down, text messaging or something.
Yep. There's just limitless distractions now. Whether it is the, you know, like your cell phone, the text message, even the little handheld game systems, whatever.
Yeah.
People have so much to do other than get to know each other it's how hard would it be? How hard is it going to be to manipulate and control us all if we can't even talk to each other? You know, for example, the same as this show, anybody's got an opinion, I would encourage them to call in and voice the opinion. Let's talk.
Absolutely.
You know, whatever it's about, I'm sure we can get a conversation going about it, and call in other radio shows if you listen to them, dude. I mean,
yeah.
Just get your voice out there and engage in a dialogue with whoever you can, whenever you can, and
exactly.
That's the only way we're going to get back the things that we've been losing.
Well, I think we need to bring some sanity back to an insane world. There's such a need for instant communication nowadays that very little happens in this world that isn't reported on. Whether it makes it to mainstream media or not is a different matter, but it is reported on somewhere. And
you know what I think of the mainstream media. So you know,
well, yeah, exactly.
The mainstream
yeah.
media. Why would you report it to the mainstream media? They don't want to hear it.
No, they don't. Their die is already cast. You know, I allude to them as being nothing more than rating whores. You know, they need higher ratings so they can earn more money. So to get the higher rating, they just, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, and that's about it. But they never stay on the story long enough. Yeah, they never stay on the story long enough. I mean, you know, 370 going down was a big story. But after about the 25th day, it wasn't such a big story, and now it's a buy story on the news.
Yeah.
It's still out there because there's still people looking, but, you know, it's pretty well a forgotten thing. Wait for the next crisis, you know?
But, I mean, and if you want an example of the manipulation, look into it. How do you think the press got to be this way when I was growing up, turn on the news at 6 o'clock at night or whenever it was, and you'd see Walter Cronkite and the Huntley-Brinkley Report and
right.
You know, all of these people that just delivered the news. Now, I mean, how reliable the news was, I'm not going to get into that, but that's all they did. It wasn't flash. They weren't selling anything. They weren't doing any of this. It was supposed to be just the news. And
right.
Nowadays, I don't think I would really question whether any of these reporters would be able to deliver the news in that fashion, because they wouldn't understand what they were doing.
They wouldn't know how to deliver it.
Well, yeah, no, just to say something factually, I think these people are I'm talking now about the people on the mainstream media. I don't
right.
think they'd know how to do anything with sincerity. If it isn't scripted, they can't fake it.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Speaking of scripted, take a deep breath. We'll be right back.
347-324-3287. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. We are VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockers, on blogtalkradio.com.
Well, before John Kerry became Secretary of State, I mean, I knew this guy when he gave testimony in Congress when he came back from Vietnam. I wasn't impressed with him then, and I most certainly wasn't impressed with him as a senator or an attempted president. And I definitely don't like him as Secretary of State. He isn't doing the world any favors. He just doesn't seem to be exuding that Americanism that gets jobs done.
Do you think there's a politician out there that's doing the world any favors? Especially, do you think there's an American politician out there doing the world any favors?
In total, no. In total, no. But you know, I mean, the first lie a politician tells you is vote for me, and I will represent you. I mean, that's just an all about lie, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's just not true. So my point is he isn't even coming across as the United States of America. The United States of America, you know, that shining steeple on the hill that Bush Senior talked about, 1,000 points of light. You know, America was a great, great country. But now, I mean,
until Bush Senior took over.
Yeah, I mean, Kerry is now just, you know, slobbing around the world trying to keep one crisis simmering down. He's got 4 or 5 different pots on the boil, and he can't seem to resolve anything. And you know, then Obama's not helping. He's just keeping his head down, and it seems like the United States of America have finally admitted that they are powerless to do anything.
Yeah,
other than World War III, you know.
Why do you think we're getting so many bulling incompetent politicians nowadays?
Well, I don't think many people, if any, could be able to go through the scrutiny to become president or senator or congressman. You know, that I mean, your privacy is raped. So I don't know if many people actually want that anymore.
So you think it's because the good people don't want to do it anymore?
Well, I think it's the good people just don't want to be put through that ringer, because it serves absolutely no purpose. You know, really, at the end of the day, it serves no purpose whatsoever. Can you imagine going through a presidential race and then digging into everything that you've ever done in your life that's on record? I mean, you know, it's like, it doesn't mean to say you're any less of a person or that you're any worse than the person trying to get in. You know, but the way they bring it out and the way they maximize it, you know, I mean, they destroy people only for political gain.
Well, if you enter into the game, I guess you got to put up with the people that are your opponents. And to me, the whole game is corrupted and tarnished beyond repair now. And when I say the whole game, I mean the whole political system, the entire political system. You're not going to find anybody that's going to trust a politician the way they used to. It's not going to happen. There were politicians that at least had the ability to convince somebody that they were trying to do some good. But I think it's just even beyond that. They've just abandoned that whole image altogether. Now they're just, you know, you watch the last American election probably the last many American elections, and what do they all want to be? They all want to put themselves across as the guy that can sit down and have a beer with you in your living room, and the guy that'll put on the plaid jacket and go out and play golf with you or whatever it is he's gonna do. Nobody wants to come across as an overly intelligent politician anymore because they're boring.
Yeah.
So it's again, you know, it's just like everything else you see on television. You got to get the visuals. You got to get the good sound bites, and that's what makes politicians now not issues, not problems and solutions. It's the sound bites, and you listen to any politician now, and half of the things you can pick any 3 sentences that run concurrent or run back to back, and one has nothing to do with the other, but they all sound good, and nobody even notices this anymore. It's all non sequitur, but Obama was black, Hillary was a woman, John Kerry, I don't know, I guess he was good looking at some time, got some stupid grin on his face every time I'm looking at him, and I just don't buy any of them.
He always reminds me of one of the Muppets. I can't remember the character, but every time I see John Kerry, I just reminds me of this Muppet character. And I can't take him seriously because I know what he did to his country when he came back from Vietnam. You know, I knew what he was then, and I know what he is now. And you know, that and that taste doesn't leave my mouth very much. You know, it stays there, and I haven't seen anything that he has done that has not brought any of these pots off the boil, other than almost cave into every one of Iran's demands to continue talking. I mean, we talked about this last year, I seem to remember, about Iran. You know, they'll sing and dance. They're the best negotiators in the world. Their culture grew up on negotiation, and they know the game, and they'll negotiate themselves into the best position possible. And here comes Kerry, you know, just like a bumbling fool, giving them what they want to keep them talking. When you keep them talking, you give them more of what they want. You know, it's a stupid circle, but Kerry can't seem to get himself out of that, and it's a mess. And the Middle East is going to implode, whether we want it to or not. I think it's beyond the safety limit now. I don't think you can pull the Middle East back from the brink of wherever it's going. Yeah, I just think it's just, you know, way too much of a powder keg now to attempt to settle it down. I don't think there's anything that would settle down the Middle East.
No, I don't think so. I don't think. I mean, and the alternative to the diplomacy is military force, and they've been using that for years and years and years, and it hasn't got any farther than it may as well try the diplomacy. You know, they went in and got Saddam and, quote, liberated Iraq, spread a little democracy over there, and they went into Afghanistan and liberated the poppy fields, and individually, people in these countries are no freer than they were before.
Right. And the Taliban are on the way back into Afghanistan too. And in massive numbers, apparently.
They probably had their influence in there all along. In fact, they're probably it was in cahoots with the CIA. I guess the only thing is they're just going to have to share their drug money with the CIA. I don't know. But
accomplished. No cynicism there at all, was there? You know, like
It's not cynicism. Well, it's cynicism when it comes to politics, because I'm sorry, when a politician opens his mouth, he lies as a matter of course, and it's when he tells the truth that you really got to watch out for him.
Yeah,
because he's telling the truth for a reason. He lies as a matter of course, but he's telling the truth for a reason. And you know, you got to flip it around, because
it's never in your favor.
Oh no, never. Never. It's you know, I mean, they don't even worry about lying to cover their ass anymore, but because they lie as a matter of course anyways. But when a politician tells the truth, look around you, something's going on.
Hey, we got 6 minutes left, so let me ask you this. Cable bills. Now the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, who get paid by the government through tax dollars to actually exist, they want to charge for their existence now, Hugh. They not only do they get millions from tax money, they now want to charge every subscriber of CBC a fee for the right to watch the taxpayer-subsidized station. Really, the head of floating this idea.
Seems to me they're picking the wrong time to negotiate. The only good staple they had on CBC was Hockey Night in Canada, and now they've lost that. So I don't know what they got that's going to attract people. Now, having said that, a lot of the programming, the you know, regular half-hour programming that CBC does, I think is way better than most of the American stuff. Having said that, though, it's not the kind of the thing that appeals to the masses. And CBC, as far as I'm concerned, if they're not going to be there for us, then they may as well go away. And I don't want to pay for them anymore.
Yeah. How about them becoming a public broadcast service rather than attempting to compete as a commercial station? You know, like PBS do an incredible job. A lot of their stuff is not for the masses, but they do an incredible job of balancing it. You know, you can always go to PBS.
I would have no problem with that, but eventually I suspect they would stop being the CBC. I just don't think they'll get the mainstream type of viewership that I don't believe they're getting it now, and this is the problem. Yeah. So they'd have to change their programming or something drastically if they want to threaten with anything. You know, if I was paying for cable and they said, okay, now you got to pay extra for the CBC, yeah, cut the CBC, it's gone.
Yeah.
It'd be one of the first ones because there's just not enough on it. I mean, I used to watch a lot of hockey, and I the CBC had Hockey Night in Canada. Well, they don't even have that anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of deaths on the CBC. You know, they're having a tough time. They canceled a couple of their old Made in Canada shows. Their Arctic Air was one of them. And I think Murdoch Mysteries was the other one. But anyway, they had to cancel them. You know, as you say, they can't go up against an American television. Yet most of the, I wouldn't say most, but a good portion of American comedy is either written by or acted by Canadians, you know, which is kind of funny.
I think they were done in, and again, by our politicians. I think CBC was just, you know, when they started playing around with budgets and things like that. And I understand a politician is going to say they got to watch the CBC's budget because it's publicly funded network. I get that. But, you know, that would be the same thing you want to do if you want to destroy it, bring it down. And that looks like what they've done to it. They've ruined it. There's, again, nothing good on it. No reason for anybody to turn it on. And if you do turn it on, you can watch the same things either on an American network or get them on one of the like the Comedy Network or some of these local cable things, Canadian cable things. So, and I would sooner, I mean, I don't know what difference it would make, but I would sooner see them go under and just let's stop paying for it. Television doesn't mean anything anyways. It's all profit centers. So let the CBC go. Let the private ones fight it out for the viewing audience of the people that just want to be mesmerized and entertained, and let that go on privately. I don't want to pay for it anymore.
Right. Yeah. And that's a very good point. Is, you know, when is enough enough? Why would you want to compete with commercial stations that are not taking subsidy?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, no, I agree.
Like, it just doesn't make sense because, as you say, there's very little that's unique on CBC unless you go to the nature of things with David Suzuki and, you know, and that's about it. And some of their news specials are quite interesting. Their W5 documentaries are excellent.
Well, yeah. CBC used to have some really, really good, informative, interesting shows, but they couldn't get funded either. So, you know, if you're not going to give me good stuff to watch on television, take it away.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I get you. I get what you're saying. Hey, Hugh, I can't believe it, but we're hitting the bottom of the hour. We're a done deal already. Been a pleasure, sir, as usual. Next week, we'll go for an hour show, and we'll move up into our regular time slot and see if we can get comfortable up there. So we'll be talking to you before then, Hugh. And
absolutely.
In the meantime, in between time, that's it. That's all. Another edition of VOCR Live. And we'll talk to you next week.